This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
KBOO Radio is a proud media sponsor of the 28th annual Martin Luther King Day event. Keep Alive the Dream, an annual tribute to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., produced by the World Arts Foundation. This year's event will take place at the New Beginnings Conference Center, 3300 Northeast 172nd Place in Portland. KBOO will again broadcast the annual celebration in its entirety. More information about this live broadcast can be found at kboo.fm/2013MLK.
Sugar. up, so screwed up, so screwed up, so screwed up.
And good morning. Good morning. It's 5 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And this is Positively Revolting. Thank you so much for listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland. I slipped that legal ID straight in there. It was almost subtle. And together we are talking about, well, violence against women. We're talking about rape and how to stop it. We're talking about rape culture, how to identify it. We're talking about rape culture because some people don't even know what that is because we are inured to it. It's the water we swim in. And that's where we're focusing our discussion this morning. We would love to hear from you on this topic. Please do feel free to give us a call at 503-231-8187. You can also connect with us at Positively Revolting on Facebook. That's Facebook/Positively Revolting. You can also email us at Gmail, where we are, in fact, positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. We are, you know, this is a topic that has needed to be discussed forever. We do occasionally look at it and, well, yes, it's true. There's a lot of attention being put this way in light of recent horrific headlines. And every now and again, there are some acts that are so horrific, they actually break through the numbing and into the headlines out of the, well, the sea of commonality, unfortunately, and grab our attention. Now, in some cases, they only grab our attention because there are hacktivist groups who want to make sure that that people know about these acts and about the perpetrators. That's one way to get the headlines. It's one way to get it out there. Another way is for each and every one of us who have been assaulted, been attacked, been raped, been abused by people in our lives. And let's face it, when I say people, I generally mean men in this case. There's the idea of breaking the silence as an act of power and, in fact, an act of necessity to really bring home to people how prevalent, how wrong this is and how it affects most of us, right? Most of us. If you yourself have not been assaulted, then those of us who have, and I am amongst them, certainly the experience that that has and the impact that that has on our lives ripples out in the community, ripples out in future relationships, ripples out in our families. And so we all face the impacts of the sexual abuse, of rape, of sexual assault. I consider rape a tool of the patriarchy. I believe that rape is an enforcement tool, and we can actually talk about that and what I mean by that as we get into the show a little bit. Let's sort of start with the idea, though, that whereas I do believe everyone has a role to play in ending, excuse me, in ending this culture of rape, I do believe that men have a very important and specific role to play. And that is talking to other men about how, in fact, it is unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable, to believe that this sort of dominance display, this violence against women, these acts are acceptable in any way, shape, or form. It's to say no to that complicit peer approval, if not encouragement. So, you know, there's that adage, for evil to triumph, good men need to sit aside and do nothing. Well, it's, I think, perhaps doubly applicable in this case. So that's where my thoughts are at the beginning of this show. Certainly, I have been involved in some vibrant, shocking, and horrific conversations this week. And that's what gave me the idea that it's time is ripe now, as we focus our attention as a country and as a world on these crimes, to really see if we can raise consciousness and make a difference. What about you, Lynn?
Well, and I also want to talk about the idea. I was just reading this article by Inderpal Grewal, who I'm completely butchering her name, I'm sure, who is the chair and professor of the program at Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at the Yale University. I'm sort of surprised they have that Yale. But and the very first sentence of her article, she talks about the protests against rape in India, but saying that one of the hallmarks of patriarchy is that it allows men to be either rapists or protectors or even both. And the woman whose name I put up on our Facebook page, but since I can't get to Facebook, what was her name?
Oh, you're talking about the woman who was killed.
Yes.
Jyoti Singh Pandey.
And who had someone with her. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing needs to be something that doesn't matter. Like when people were acting in Take Back the Night, I Take Back the Day, Take Back
Our Lives.
Our lives, that people in general can't feel safe, but safe in the streets. Some of us feel safer than others. I personally think that you are right. It's about power. It has nothing to do with sex. How short your skirt is, if someone can see your ankles, your whole face, your hair, whatever, it's always been about power.
Mm-hmm.
And rape fantasies are about power. It's so pervasive and has been. It's not a modern day thing. This has been going on as a power issue for thousands of years. And I'm sort of heartened that so much discussion is, even though it's been a difficult week for you, I know, in the discussion area, that it's an ugly boil that has to come up and be talked about big time before anything will be changed. How do you think things can change? Our number here is 503-231-8187. Give us a call, or you can email us at positiverevolting@gmail.com or the lovely Facebook. We're Positively Revolting there also.
So about prevalence, I almost said prevalent psychotic attitudes. Oh, check that out. A little Freudian slip so early in the morning.
Do you think that porn is, because since the internet, porn is like incredibly raw. I mean, do you think that that's an issue? I don't, you know, I hear.
I have about 9,000 different thoughts on that issue.
I know.
I think one of the things, there's a desensitization aspect so that things start seeming very normal. And there is a lot of different types of porn. Now, I'm going to go ahead and just put it out there right off the bat, because why not? I live my life fairly transparently. And as somebody had told me once, I've grown up on radio. It's pretty much true. So I've said a lot of things in public. I'm not against porn. You know, this is where I probably sharply diverge from many of my peers. I'm not against porn overall. I'm fairly libertine in my attitudes. I'm very much pro-sex. But again, you're pointing out that rape and sex are different acts. Mm-hmm. And I think that that cannot be underscored enough. So there is a type of porn that has developed over the last 10 years. It's the type of porn that can be done in a low budget by just about anyone with a cell phone, and suddenly you too can be a porn star. It's Gonzo.
Wiener? Ask Representative Wiener.
Right? Oh, right. I do remember him. There's actually Robert Jensen, who is a fantastic author and associate professor at the University of Texas, wrote a book about 3 years ago now, maybe 4 years ago, called Getting Off. And it is getting off pornography and the end of masculinity. And he examines the effect that porn has on its consumers, and its effect on the pervasive attitude of violence against women in our culture. He's talking specifically about gonzo extreme porn. This is hardly the campy stuff that I enjoyed with friends, you know, like Cafe Flesh. Okay, all right, I don't need to go into these. But there's some cult classics back there from the 70s. That,
Flesh Gordon.
Yeah, for example, you know, that my I favorite. Really have absolutely no issue with. It's true, I don't. That said, there are, you know, really, it seems a huge amount of porn is there to show women being mistreated, abused, hurt, and humiliated. And what's that about? And Jensen puts forth the idea that this the sharp rise in this sort of porn is indicative of these attitudes sort of bubbling to the surface, as well as sort of a cycle reinforcing those attitudes and spreading those attitudes as you watch it becoming desensitized to this sort of treatment, and it all of a sudden seems normal, right? So there's that.
Sort of like those video games where you're killing people.
Now, see, I like playing video games, too.
Do you like those ones?
Yes, actually, I love first-person shooters.
Really?
There are things I'd admit on the radio. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm fairly selective. I like to, you know, play games where I'm not necessarily shooting at, well, people that I would see around me every day of my life. You know, I'm more of a space sort of, you know, run out there with a laser gun and shoot at things that look like aliens. Okay, yeah, that's me. I like doing that. Yeah, I'll admit it. So I don't know. I'm not somebody that buys violent video games creates violence, although I do think that you can, again, look at how you're using them and the desensitization process. When you don't have the capacity to distinguish between what's fantasy and what's reality, when it's something that you're steeping yourself in so that all the images you are picking up are violent images that desensitize you to violence, whether that's, you know, violence in general, violence against women, violence against yourself. I mean, you know, there's something to be said about how one reinforces their thoughts. It's probably good to look into a balance, you know, and not have that be what is making up your entire reality.
Well, and these are very intense times.
Sure.
So, of course, I watch period dramas.
Lynn is just looking at me like I have sprouted antennae.
No, I don't. No, I'm smiling. I'm just like, because I'm like,
we've been
like,
friends for like 7 years now, and I don't think I've ever said, no, Lynn, I love first person shooter games. Are you kidding me? Come on, get over it.
It's the radio. But yeah, you know, and I'm watching period dramas. Not that anyone cares about that, but
yeah. See, I don't like period dramas. Attitudes about
yeah. Well, if
fancy
they were,
dress and such.
I know.
So, but I do want to get back to the prevalence of these attitudes where people are, how we take this in, how we internalize the messages coming at us. And this is what rape culture is. I mean, to me, we see rape culture around us anytime. You know, how do we know we're living in a rape culture? These are some of the questions. These are some of the litmus tests for me.
Oh, my God, that's a bad... So, 10 reasons. How do you know you are living in a rape culture?
I know, right? I could write for Yahoo. Yahoo... Never mind. That's a whole different thing. That whole soundbite news. Oh, my God. Checklist. How do you know? What I'd love to say, though, is rape culture is... that message, it's mother culture in the back of our head that immediately makes us question what the victim is saying. It's, you know, when somebody says, wow, I got mugged yesterday, I don't hear a whole lot of people say, really? Was your wallet sticking out of your pocket? Were you, you know, were you flashing your money around a little earlier? Did you buy something, you know, kind of extravagant for the guy that mugged you late, you know, like that. I don't hear those questions. Were you drunk? No, I don't hear those questions. I do hear them when we talk about rape. So this, for me, I guess I have no rant control, and I'll put it out there now. For me, this started last week when a person posted to Facebook the articles around Steubenville. And how Anonymous Night Sec had brought some of those videos to the internet so people could see what was going on in a town that had really no bigger interest than covering up this crime. So, and protecting the rapists, because after all, they're football players. We love our football players. Those are heroes. So, I saw this article and I thought, okay, well, there we are. You know, this is definitely breaking into our consciousness. There's time to talk about things. That's really good. That's hopefully can inspire some discussions about how we can, in fact, work together to end rape. So imagine my surprise in this extremely radical forum on Facebook. I know it's a little oxymoronic, and yet extremely radical forum on Facebook. Imagine my surprise when the very next post was, I wonder why she was passed out. Had she been drinking? Okay, so I kind of lost it. And because I don't think that's an appropriate question, ever. When somebody is attacked, I do not ask what state of mind they were in. They were attacked. That's not...
Probably fearful, you could guess.
You know, that's probably... Probably. So rape culture to me is very much underscored by the idea that this culture tells women to modify their behavior in order to not be raped. So rape culture asks a woman who has survived an attack whether she was intoxicated or if she had had a relationship with the rapist. Had they been flirting? Had he taken her out to dinner? Did she know him? Had they had sex in the past? Those all are relevant questions from the rape culture. Those are not relevant questions in any kind of compassionate society that has a whit of sense about it. Rape culture asks women if they fought back. Sometimes rape culture judges her if she didn't. Sometimes rape culture judges her if she did. Oh, you fought back and you killed him. Well, that was a little extreme, don't you think? So you can only fight back so much, but you'd best fight back or somehow or another you're asking for it and you weren't protecting your own virtue enough. Rape culture tells us to teach women self-defense as a way to stop rape. It does not tell men that they need to talk to other men to recognize what rape is and to stop it. Rape culture enforces patriarchy by underscoring traditional gender roles and invoking rape as punishment when a woman steps out of line too far. When I was raped when I was 17, for example, it was when I decided to tell a really good friend of mine that I, by and large, liked girls. Oh, really? Maybe I just hadn't been with a good guy. Well, no, I hadn't. It was all right and stuff, but I really liked girls. Oh, really? Well, he could show me different. It didn't work. You know, that's the reinforcement of patriarchy. So, rape culture depends on the silence of women and the complicity of men for its continuance. And I say we have an obligation to ourselves and to each other and to our future generations to say, the hell with that. We need to end the silence and we need to end the complicity and we need to stop rape culture. So that's my definitions of rape culture. I know that we have people lined up ready to go. Let's go ahead and take a caller. And then I would love to get into talking about the prevalence of these attitudes. And I think we'll go there in just a moment. But now, Chris, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I have to say, you know, as a male in this society, that you know, this is something that it's really difficult to deal with. But I think it's also, you know, fairly critical because obviously, you know, in this situation, you know, males have the privilege and the power, right? And so
so far
in so many ways you know, it operates a lot like racism, where it's like, well, you know, I don't know that I really want to give up this privilege and this power that I have over somebody else, and so therefore I'll just choose to ignore it rather than deal with it. And one thing that I've, you know, started to wrestle with, and I can't say that I've you know, done enough of the work that I need to do to really, you know, try to free myself from these cultural mores that tend to go unaddressed, is, I don't know if you're familiar with Jacques Lacan's The Gaze and his psychoanalysis approach to male dominance, but at some, you know, I'm a...
Oh, you're breaking up, Chris. I'm really sorry.
You're getting to the good part, Chris.
I'm totally interested in what you're going to say. I'm going to ask our engineer to put you on hold for just a moment, and maybe you could get to a better spot, and or maybe call back and try it again. I'm not sure, but you're breaking up, Scotty. So we can't really go on. Let's go ahead and talk to Sean. Good morning, Sean. You're on the line.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I was, as you were talking about the subject, I had to go and grab my copy of Empire of Illusion by Chris Hedges, and he's got a chapter in there called The Illusion of Love, and it starts out with this amazing quote from Andrea Dworkin, and I'll just read the very end of it. It says, "The new pornography is left-wing, and the new pornography is a vast graveyard where the left has gone to die. The left cannot have its whores and its politics, too." I just thought that was... you know, very,
well,
I mean, it's like, we can't talk about the alienation, the dehumanization and the powerlessness of women without talking about the alienation, dehumanization and powerlessness of working class and poor people in general. I don't want to sound like I'm just, you know, trying to not talk about the rape culture, but it seems like capitalism itself is a rape culture, and not just of women. It's this economic system is solely based around one set of human beings enslaving, either through chattel or wage slavery, using the vast majority of human beings for their own benefit.
I gotcha.
Absolutely. But what we are talking about is not, and that's that is true. But that is also what I've been hearing lately is a lot of left leaning men using that as an excuse to not talk about the actual act of rape between men and women, and that is what we're talking about today.
Now,
I totally respect that.
Cool.
I just wanted to, you know, finish by saying that, you know, I think the way to end the rape culture is to end the rape economy. If we would have living wage jobs,
it's a good start.
It goes beyond that, Sean. That's the thing. So I think that actually we often look at the entire exploitative economic system on this show. We often look at the ways that we mistreat each other and that we live in a culture of dominance, period. And, you know, as an anarchist, I live to actually end that culture of dominance, period. But what we're talking about today is, in fact, the horrific acts of interpersonal violence that is supported by the rape culture of men to women. And that is what we're talking about today. And I think that to derail it into a discussion of economics is, in fact, to not do that service. So I think I appreciate where you're going with that. I do agree that the entire system is exploitative and it hurts us all. That is true, but I do want to keep us focused on looking at how to end the interpersonal violence and the attitudes that rape is somehow or another acceptable when we don't call it rape. Now, I hear, and so thank you very much for your call. I'm going to go ahead and move on that we have heard, I have heard a whole lot this week, that particular argument, and I again, nothing wrong with saying that we live in an exploitive culture where, in fact, the elite... really do oppress us all. Okay, I'm good. I'm good with that. The thing is that when we're talking about the interpersonal acts of violence, we have very clear lines of what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. There was a discussion a little while ago wherein the idea that rape was just a natural thing. Certainly there's been arguments made that rape has a biological functionality or biological drive to it. These arguments really fall off if you actually look cross-culturally and historically. If rape were limited to only capitalist countries, then I'd say that has a lot more credence. But it ain't. So how do you account for that, right? We're talking about patriarchy. That goes beyond capitalism, all right? So I want to look at, and I know what I was saying about the attitudes it is, you know, that, you know, if we all know rape very, very bad, right? No one condones rape. Rape is bad. There was a fellow arguing with me a few days ago that rape is considered the most heinous crime in ever. No one would ever be accepting of a rapist, except when we don't call it rape. Because when we say rape in this culture, we tend to get a very specific image, and that image tends to be stranger rape. It tends to be that woman has to walk home from work at night.
I was going to get into that most rape is somebody you know.
Mm-hmm. And the idea here's a woman walking home alone, there's somebody who's looking pretty dodgy. And this also goes into reinforcing all manner of stereotypes, because in most people's heads, that dodgy person is going to be a man of the working class or lower, that's going to usually look like a thug, probably a black man or a Latino. You know, that these are the stereotypes. And so the stereotype not only very narrowly defines what rape is, but it also reinforces racism. It also reinforces the idea that women should not walk home alone at night, or she's somehow or another complicit. It reinforces all of these other problems, and I mean really deep problems. So let's actually talk a little bit about what rape is. There's some surveys done. This is on Campus Advocacy Network's University of Illinois at Chicago site. These studies have been sort of put around for a while, and I just want to throw out there some statistics. First of all, statistically speaking, in this country, about 207,000 women reported being raped every year. That's according to the Department of Justice, right? That's not some wacky feminist institution throwing out wild numbers. That's the Department of Justice, which you could say are the most conservative figures, and those are reported rapes. Most rapes are not reported. Even if you were taking those figures, that's one woman being raped every 2 minutes. Other surveys say it's more like every 30 seconds. It depends on whose statistics you're using. But if we take the most conservative number, it's every 2 minutes. A survey of 6,000 college students enrolled at 32 institutions across the U.S. found that 54% of women surveyed had been the victims of some form of sexual abuse. More than 1 in 4 college-aged women had been the victim of rape or attempted rape. 57% of assaults occur on dates. 73% of the assailants and 55% of the survivors had used alcohol or other drugs. 25% of the men surveyed admitted that they had done some sort of sexual coercion. 25% of men admit, college-aged men, I believe this was a freshman survey, that they had coerced a woman to have sex with them. Coercion equals rape, okay? 42% of victims told no one. In a survey of high school students, 56% of the girls and 76% of the boys believed that forced sex was acceptable under some circumstances. A survey of 11 to 14-year-olds found that 51% of the boys and 40% of the girls said that forced sex was acceptable if the boy had spent a lot of money on the date. That's 11 to 14-year-olds. 31% of the boys and 32% of the girls, so it's pretty much split right there evenly, said it was acceptable for a man to rape a woman if they'd had sex in the past. 87% of boys and 79% of girls said sexual assault was acceptable if the man and the woman were married. 65% of boys and 47% of girls said it was acceptable for a boy to rape a girl if they'd been dating for more than 6 months.
I wonder how they came up with 6 months.
It was probably the question.
I know. That's just saying. Oh, wait, just a minute, honey.
Five and a half months and 29 days. 35%.
Right.
Now check it out. 35% of college-aged males, and in fact, these were college-attending males that were surveyed, admitted that under certain circumstances, if they believed they could get away with it, would rape. So when I talk to men who say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. That you're talking about very small percentage. Not, you know, I've never raped anyone. No one I know has raped anyone. 35% of men have admitted on a survey that they would if they could. All right. So I know we have a lot of callers, and I have no rant control. I warned y'all at the beginning of the show. So
let's take a caller. What the heck?
Okay.
Chris is back, you know, because we asked him to come back.
Please.
So please.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hello. I apologize.
No.
So I was talking about Lacan's gaze, and he talks about basically, you know, the power of the man visually to take in the woman. And he was, you know, and then it's taken on this whole, you know, film lit has really picked up, you know, on this theme. And I believe Lacan.
So men are visual. Okay.
Right. And what was funny is before I encountered this whole theory is, you know, going to school at PSU and, you know, there's lots of people. And I always noticed that, I started to notice at least that women tended to look down at the ground when they were walking and there was no eye contact. And then I felt, you know, this sense of privilege to be able to just, you know, look anywhere I wanted and look at whatever I wanted and take it in, whereas I felt like, you know, I had this kind of just by looking, this power to oppress and force a woman to look away from me. And I don't know how valid that is. That's just my personal experience. But then when I started to look at this Lacan's theory about this, It really clicked for me, and it's something that, you know, I still don't know quite what to do with it, but I do feel that that's at least a piece of where my privilege as a male comes into play in my own life that I've begun to see in it. And it seems really innocuous, but at the same time, I feel like it has this fundamental role that contributes to this rape culture where we just feel that as men, that we can do what we want, that we can look at what we want, and that we thereby have this tendency to objectify and dehumanize the things and the people around us and to devalue them, which then allows this space for us to say, well, you know, I can take that if I want it, you know. And
thank you for bottom lining things, Chris. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's something that I really wrestle with. And again, I don't know quite where that's going to take me in terms of, you know, getting any better.
I hope acceptance and rejection of that, that privilege.
Yeah. And I do reject the privilege, but I don't know exactly how to reject it in practice, if that makes any sense.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Well, no, I mean, beyond that, talking to your brothers. So,
yeah,
I mean, here's the thing, interrupting sexist behavior where you see it, not,
yeah,
you know, just getting the fortitude you need to have to be that guy that is Captain Bringdown, you know, because, you know, that locker room humor, it just sort of sprouts. And I hang out with really progressive people. I live in bubble world, and yet I still get to interrupt that kind of sexist behavior when a group of guys start talking. And it's kind of amazing to me how deeply ingrained that is. And so I know from my experience that guys tend to take that better from other guys. Because, you know, in my bubble world, they take it pretty well from me because, you know, we're all working on our stuff. But in the rest of the world, outside of my Southeast Portland bubble, when I've tried to interrupt sexist behavior, I am called all the names that I cannot say on the air, and you know them.
Yeah.
And told to, you know, quit being such a bitch.
Right.
Because they're just having some fun.
And
why don't I have a
humor.
Sense of humor?
Get a sense of humor.
Right. And really what that is too is, you know, that's it right there. I don't have to listen to you because you're just an object in my
exactly
male-dominated universe. So I just want to thank you guys for this conversation. And
thank
for,
you, Chris.
Thank you,
you know,
for your contribution, Chris.
And,
yeah.
And good luck to you talking to your brothers.
Best of luck to you.
Absolutely essential. That is the way we end this cycle. That's the way we actually make progress. Because as I was attempting to get across to a friend of mine yesterday, it really, you know, guys that don't respect women in the first place ain't going to listen to us when we try to say that's not cool.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. So thank you so much for your call this morning.
All right. Thanks, guys. Go KBOO.
Go KBOO. Go Red Smash State. So we have 20 minutes left. We have the bases loaded, 503-231-8187, the number to call. My name is Ani.
I'm Lynn, and, you know, we do have one woman on the line. I would really like to have a few more women call in the next 20 minutes. Though I'm interested in listening to everyone, but it's something I'd like to hear about from women, too.
And we are, in fact, this is Positively Revolting. And please do check us out on Facebook. We can continue this conversation forever. Facebook.com/Positively Revolting. You can also email us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. As several people have this morning, I want to thank Thomas Matica for writing in to ask us to please remember to mention the horrendous situation of prison rape, which does, you know, it is also a part of this. That gets back to that whole culture of dominance.
Yeah.
Right. And it is a real serious issue that we do need to focus on. And we actually need to make sure is out there in the consciousness as an issue to work on, not just some sick joke. So I thank Thomas for emailing that in. There are many other comments. Lynn, over to you.
Yeah, I'm going to, just so you know what's coming up on KBOO this morning, at 9 on Voices of the Middle East, Godard's looks at drone warfare, oh, speaking of domination, and the nomination of John Brennan, Mr. Torture Guy, to the head of the CIA with guests Judy Trooper and Linda Wenning, who just returned from a visit to Pakistan with Code Pink. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And at 10:15, Flashpoints features interview with Venezuelan-American attorney Eva Golinger on the future of Venezuela and an interview on warrantless wiretapping. At 11 o'clock, Rabia Yemen hosts The Digital Divide, analyzing how to use science, medicine, and technology to benefit society and keep it from harming us. Another little thing that's not necessarily coming up on KBOO, but it is coming up next Thursday, is the Mad as Hell Doctors and Physicians for a National Healthcare Program. It's a 65-minute documentary that's going to be called The Healthcare Movie. It's going to be shown at the Kalish Eco Village, 4311 Southeast 37th Avenue in Portland. You can call Lisa Taylor at 503-939-3904. I believe they're at, they're also the Healthcare for All Oregon has a Facebook page, so you can check them out as well. And thank you so much, KBOO listeners and members, for your support. If you're not a member, it's very easy to fix that. You can just go on to kboo.fm and click on the Donate Today button.
So let's go ahead and talk to Leslie. Good morning, Leslie. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Annie. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
Another thing that rape culture does is it ranks women, with white women on top, women of color on the bottom. And women of color are supposed to be really desperate and needy, and we're supposed to feel really grateful when we're approached by white men because they're doing us such a favor. Wherever we are, wherever we may be, in school, at church, at work, in the street, if we're ever approached by a white guy, we should just genuflect because they're just doing us such a great big favor. And I just want to put it out there. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us don't like it, and some of us really want you to back off. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call this morning. And this just in via email, thank you, Ross. He has written that there is a feminist, anti-misogynist stand-up comic in Portland. He is, let's see, show details, Boom Bap Gallery, which is at 640 Southeast Stark in Portland. And there is, details, Not sure about those details, but just so you know, this person exists. That's always good. Let's take another caller. Let's go to Jeff. Good morning, Jeff. You're on the air.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. I'll be as swift as possible.
Good.
Ani, you put your finger exactly on the button when you mentioned the word coercion. However, the coercion goes much deeper. the rape culture must be carefully cultivated. And what they're cultivating from one generation to the next of men and boys is the pornographic mind. And the pornographic mind is such that a man, in his mind, will with his eyes undress a woman. That is a kind of rape in the mind already. But the society has created, you mentioned football players and the like, who do things literally with impunity.
Mm-hmm.
It is because they have been coerced, rather, they have actually been carefully cultivated to exhibit and to live through a pornographic mind. It brings us the pornographic realities of our modern culture, from entertainments and music and arts and motion pictures and even video games. It must be carefully cultivated, and it is thus coerced. And stand up, men, you're right. Stand up and put this down. Thank you for taking my call, and goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much, Jeff. 503-231-8187. Let's go ahead and take a call from Daisy.
Yeah.
Good morning, Daisy.
Hi, good morning. I just really wanted to thank you for talking about this subject. It's been kind of traumatizing to know about the recent attacks in India and also hearing about the Steubenville situation. I talked to some of my female friends about the Steubenville incident specifically, and mm-hmm. lots of them didn't even want to talk about it because it was so triggering to them to know that that sort of violence is out there and that many of them, like you have talked about, Annie, have also experienced different violent sexual acts.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to share one of my experiences of being in a group of my, you know, friends, male friends, and listening to some music that I had listened to back in high school, of, you know, just some really violent music,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not recognizing it as violent music when I was a child, you know, in high school.
Absolutely.
You know, jamming out to it, loving it.
Yeah.
and then listening to it, just like, I think it was last year, and hearing the violence against women in the lyrics.
Right.
And at that point, I said, you know, we need to turn this off now.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've had those moments.
And all the men kind of looked at me like, what? Oh, okay. So they turned it off. And, you know, at that point, you know, I kind of just walked out and cried because I really recognized it finally for what it was, is that it wasn't just violence against this, you know, person, this woman that out in the, I don't know.
It became more than the song.
Right. Well, it became more of what it was. It's against all women. It's not just...
Yes.
Against this mythical person that doesn't really exist. And
exactly.
So basically, what I'd like to see is kind of what we were all talking about, is men also listening to that and recognizing it as an attack on all of us, on all of humanity.
How would they feel if that song was about their sister?
Exactly. I want them to also say, turn this off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to value women and not allow that sort of language
mm-hmm.
out there. So
and I want to throw out
what I'd like to see.
Absolutely. And I want to throw out there that when we start talking about music, I know that about I'm just going to, here's a fact pulled out of mybehind.com. You know, 70% of all people just went, you're talking about rap, you know, misogynist. Or maybe there's another 15% of people talking about rock, you know, rock band. I just want to throw out there, it's across all genres, okay?
Exactly.
You know, I have the great good fortune of actually working in this radio station, and so I'm exposed to different kinds of music all the time. Man, listen to some bluegrass. You want some misogyny? Listen to some bluegrass. You want classic rock? How about Neil Young's Down by the River, I Shot My Baby? Okay, I'm just, you know, these songs they've been with us for a long time, and I...
just want to always throw out those caveats, because suddenly people start using the excuse to get down on rap, and I think that that's really only veiled racism. And very thinly veiled racism at that. So thank you so much, Daisy, for calling in. That's another really good example of how those attitudes are reinforced in our popular culture and what we need to do about it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 503-231-8187. This is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani. I'm here with Lynn. And we are also available on Facebook, where you can find us, /Positively Revolting. You can also email us, as so many have today, at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. And let's move on to Anne. Good morning, Anne.
It's hard to know where to start, but yesterday in the paper, it was revealed that a Portland cop who had been women who he worked with said he had touched them, mm-hmm. He had touched their legs and all that. It was recommended that he was fired, but instead he was demoted, and now he's supervising the sexual crimes unit.
Oh, for the win.
Yeah.
So
there's just a piece of, you know, the patriarchy. And the other piece is that, you know, I actually really don't, it's a start for men to say, oh, how would you feel if that was your sister or your mother? But I still think that that's more that they're coming out of protection and ownership of women. And what I want men to say, what I think we need to say is, how would you feel if that was you? Like, when men start identifying with women, that's a pretty courageous act.
Yes.
And that breaks down the whole ownership of women. Because I think a lot of men are willing to say, well, you can't do that to my sister, because that's ownership, and they can... But for a man to identify...
Also, like, in relationships, when the woman has been raped, and puts this huge dynamic as far as in a heterosexual relationship with a man and a woman, what happens then? Because there's still this underlying thing that his property has been damaged in some way.
Exactly.
Even in very progressive people, it's a very difficult thing.
Well, there's the recent case in California where a judge found on a technicality something that rape was not a rape because the woman was not married. And under these particular circumstances, it would only be considered rape, in fact, if she were.
Right. And a lot of the origin of any laws against rape are in ownership.
Yep, property rights.
They're property rights. It's not about the woman.
No, you've diminished my property, and I need compensation.
Right. The other piece is that, I mean, there's a lot to say, but when women, and I mean, you talked about this, when women speak up, there's all kinds of sanctions that happen when you are not a woman that doesn't go along with this.
Mm-hmm.
And as a 6-foot-tall, very bold woman, I got to a point where I very early on in my life, I couldn't care about, oh, you're not feminine enough, you know? And so there's all sorts of names you get called, and I would just say, I worked in a all-male, 99% male field, and one time they said to me, oh, you're getting a reputation here for being hard to get along with. And I said, every single woman has a reputation. We either have a reputation of being easy or hard. I pick hard.
Thank you, Anne.
So, but it is a hard, you know, that's not every woman has that personality. And why should we have to have that armor on?
Right.
That's just the way I choose to survive in this culture. And people are like, you're not nice, smile. How many times are women taught to smile? I'm sure men don't go up to men and go, why aren't you smiling?
Yeah, I've never heard that.
Not put to men.
No, I've never heard that. I hear it all the time to women. You're absolutely right.
Anyway, I think you should just do a weekly rape culture show, because there's plenty to talk about.
I think we possibly could. maybe every other week, so we can include another topic here and there.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Thank you so much, Anne. I do want to put out there, the Portland Women's Crisis Line has been doing great work for 40 years supporting women who are surviving abuse and assault and attacks, whether it be rape or domestic violence. You can find help and support with the Portland Women's Crisis Line. Their crisis number is 503-235-5333. There was no one from the crisis line available for
guesting this morning, but we do hope to have somebody from the Crisis Line coming on, excuse me, in the near future when we do revisit this topic again, because, well, look at that. We're dang near out of time and certainly not out of material, sadly enough. Ross, let's go ahead and get that information about the stand-up comic tonight very quickly if we can.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, our rape culture even pervades stand-up comics. We all know that. And Jamie Kilstein from We Are Citizen Radio, that's his website, and they're on Facebook too, but he's going to be at Boomback Gallery tonight, and he's been confronting stand-up comics who've been making rape jokes about people in the audience and about prison and about sports and all that, you know, and how men end up, you know, shaming men who call out rape culture by suggesting they're less than masculine.
Mm-hmm.
They may be somewhat, you know, loose in their loafers. So we have these insinuations about a lack of male virility if you call out rape culture. So Jamie Kilstein, he's tonight at Boom Bap Gallery, and he is an awesome anti-misogynist.
I love that in a comic. I also want to point out how, in fact, you've just underscored another way that rape and rape culture really is a tool of patriarchy. You know, it is used against women who and men in that homophobic baiting sense. It is a tool of enforcement.
And then in the case of the Indian victim, she and her partner on the bus are now being suggested that it's being suggested by the defense lawyers that it's their fault that they got assaulted. So,
because they got on the bus after all.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ross, for your call this morning.
Thank you.
And we'll
fit one more person.
We can try to squeeze one more person in for about 2 minutes. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just, I really liked how you said towards the beginning about that you know, the traditional understanding of rape calls, of the idea of rape is just the stranger in the dark. And I was wondering if you had heard about, I think earlier in 2012, there was a big thing on Reddit, the internet forum, where men were talking about, you know, it was started by one guy who was talking, and it's kind of admitting about this rape that he had perpetrated, but it was, you know, quote-unquote date rape.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened up this huge conversation where all sorts of men on this anonymous internet forum were kind of admitting and saying, well, yeah, I guess I did something like that too, and gee, was that rape?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so shocking, and I wish it had received kind of more attention and everything.
That's exactly why men need to confront each other.
Yeah, exactly. So that really is something that I would love to see, is more men talking to other men about all that, because that's just
it's huge.
The most important thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because nobody considers themselves a stranger in the dark,
right?
With a mask on and everything.
So many men actually do rape, and
yeah.
I'm certainly not saying every man. I'm certainly not saying all men are bad. And I don't even know why I have to actually go back and qualify those statements,
right.
You know, but certainly, again, as we saw in the University of Illinois study, 35% of all men said that they would rape if they could get away with it. And that at least 25% of men believe that they have had coerced sex with their partner. And let's face it, coercion is the $3 word for rape.
Indeed.
So thank you so much.
Thanks, Michelle.
for your call. I'm glad
Thanks.
We could get you in here this morning.
And we have, I believe, run out of show.
Look at that. We've got 1 minute, if that. Not quite. We'd be pushing it. I do want to thank all of our callers this morning. People are emailing us fast and furiously. We couldn't get all the comments on the air. Obviously, there's a lot more to talk about. We didn't even get to another horrific case of a woman who was being driven home on New Year's Eve by the designated driver. She'd been out with teammates because she was on a jiu-jitsu team. And in fact, instead of driving her home, they drove her to a parking lot and raped her. These were her good friends and teammates who she had a lot of trust in. There's all of these stories that you can find unfortunately, very easily. It's time to break the silence. It's time to talk about what's going on in our lives. It's time to actually bring to prevalence the bring to our consciousness the prevalence of these horrific acts, and it's time to stop it. Men need to speak up, and that is hugely important. We are out of time, and I have to go now. We'll see you next week.
Indeed.
Positively revolting. Be there.
I lived in a place called Ofusky, and I had a little girl in a hollow tree. I said, little girl, it's plain to see, ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. She said, it's hard for me to see how one little boy got so ugly. Yes, my little girlie, that might be, but there ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. Way over yonder in the minor key. Way over yonder in the minor key. There ain't nobody that can sing like me. We walked down by the Buckeye Creek to see the froggy, the goggle-eyed bee, to hear that west wind whistle to the east. There ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Voices of the Middle East with Gudars Ektedari. They are talking about drone warfare, with guests Trudy Cooper and Linda Wenning, just back from a visit to Pakistan with Code Pink.
And there ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. Way over yonder in the minor key. Way over yonder in the minor.
KBOO Radio is a proud media sponsor of the 28th annual Martin Luther King Day event. Keep Alive the Dream, an annual tribute to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., produced by the World Arts Foundation. This year's event will take place at the New Beginnings Conference Center, 3300 Northeast 172nd Place in Portland. KBOO will again broadcast the annual celebration in its entirety. More information about this live broadcast can be found at kboo.fm/2013MLK.
Hi, this is Per Fogring, host of Fight the Empire. Thursday, I'll be talking with film director Oliver.